Well, church, as we continue to gather and work through, we are in week three of a series that we have called The Character of God. And in this series, what we're doing is we're taking a deep look into five characteristics of God that God describes himself as in the book of Exodus. And this comes from Exodus chapter 34. Perhaps you received one of the little cards when you arrived with this verse on it, where Exodus 34, 6, God says, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, overflowing with loyal love and faithfulness. Not too long ago, I came across this random internet article, and it talked about the angriest cartoon characters. You guys remember, any guesses of some of these angry cartoon characters? Okay, so how many of these do you perhaps remember seeing growing up, perhaps? Or maybe you still watch them if you want. Any of you remember Yosemite Sam? Okay, Yosemite Sam, the hot-headed cowboy. He was constantly trying to seek revenge against Bugs Bunny, okay? He's a super angry character. Then there was, I wasn't aware of this one. Donald Duck is an extremely angry character known for just going off, flying off the handle and throwing these temper tantrums. And then there was the Tasmanian devil, right? You guys remember the Tasmanian devil who had such a short fuse that he couldn't stop himself from spinning out of control? And then for you Marvel fans, any guesses as to this next one? The Incredible Hulk, right? Whose anger would turn him into a beast. Now, you and I might stop and kind of get a laugh about how these cartoons might reflect anger, especially how we might feel that way when we say, like, oh, I'm feeling like a Tasmanian devil. But the problem is, when we start thinking about these cartoons, the problem is if we think that God has the same kind of anger as, say, Yosemite Sam or the Tasmanian devil or the Incredible Hulk, then we've got a problem. If we think that God is the kind of God who loses control of his anger and his rage and flies into fits of anger, seeking to inflict punishment on whoever is in his reach, well, that doesn't sound like a very inspiring God, does it? That doesn't sound like the kind of God that I would want to serve. But unfortunately, that's what a lot of people think God is like. There's a lot of people in our world that think God is an angry, unpredictable, revenge-seeking tyrant. Well, today we're going to take a look at this third characteristic of God, where God declares himself as being slow to anger. This characteristic of God may be one of the primary reasons why people thinking that God isn't slow to anger might be one of the primary reasons why they don't turn to him. Why do they don't trust him? Why they walk away from him? Why they want nothing to do with him? Because again, who would want to worship a God if God is known for being this angry, quick to anger, out of control tyrant? Who would want to worship and serve a God who can't control his anger? Now this is why when we take a deep look at the characteristics of God, we need to ask ourselves, what does this mean? What does it mean to say that God is slow to anger? Now, first of all, before we even dive into this, guess what? In the verse, in Hebrew, Exodus 34, 6 doesn't actually say that God is slow to anger. All right? I'm excited about this. Instead, in Hebrew, the language that the Old Testament was written in, instead, the verse uses an idiom, okay? And every language uses idioms, right? They're figures of speech. So, for example, we use idioms all the time in English when it comes to being angry. If you say that I have a short fuse, or if you say that somebody has a short fuse, right, what do you mean? You know that it means that somebody gets angry easily, okay? You don't literally mean that they have this fuse that's short in length attached to their body somewhere, right? No, it's a figure of speech. Well, in Hebrew, the words don't say slow to anger. It's a figure of speech. And in Hebrew, the words literally say, you ready for this? That God is long of nose. Yes, you heard that right. A long of nose. Exodus 34, 6 literally says God is compassionate, gracious, and has a long nose. Are you confused yet? Good, because you should be. Let me explain. An image that we often associate with getting angry is the color red, Right? How many of us, when you think of somebody getting angry, we think of them getting flushed with the color red and or getting kind of like a fiery hot image, right? We're describing how your face literally gets warm or sometimes it gets hot after you get upset. Well, in Hebrew, when describing how somebody would look or feel whenever they got angry, they would say that someone's nose became hot. Someone's nose became hot. Why? They're describing what happens when you get angry. Your nostrils flare up, your face gets red. Some of us, we do this more than others, right? And you can everybody can tell that this person is getting angry. Their nose becomes hot. So to say that somebody has a long nose is a way of saying it takes a really long time for their nose to get hot. It takes them a long time to get angry. In other words, they are slow to anger. And so God says he has a really long nose, meaning that it takes a really long time for his nose to get hot, meaning it takes a really long time for him to get angry. So congratulations, you can now tell people they have a long nose and mean it as a compliment. Now, interestingly, the very first place in the Bible where the text actually says that God becomes angry, it comes in the book of Exodus, but in chapter 4. And those of you who know your Bibles, you know that Exodus chapter 3 and 4 is where God meets Moses at the burning bush and calls Moses to go and set his people free from slavery under Pharaoh. But here's what happens in this interaction between God and Moses. So God comes to Moses and he says, I want you to go to Pharaoh and declare that he must let my people go. And it's this incredible, this amazing call that God has handpicked Moses to do. But Moses says no. In fact, he looks back at God and he says, God, please send somebody else. I don't want to do this. No. And what was God's response? The text says that the Lord's anger burned against Moses. The first place in the scriptures where it says how angry God gets. Now, here's the first thing to realize. First, in the course of this interaction between God and Moses, Moses ended up coming up with 5 different excuses at this point why he told God, no, I don't want to do it. Just the other day, I got really angry at my daughter, and she gave me 1 excuse. And I was upset with her. And I even knew the excuse was coming, and I still got upset with her after she gave it. God gives Moses 5 opportunities. Moses gives God 5 excuses why he can't obey. And God still sticks with him. God is slow to anger. But here's the other thing to realize. When God does get angry with Moses, it doesn't result in God rampaging in this violent rage of frustration and throwing things around the room or something like that. No, God instead, he actually makes this compromise with Moses. Here's what it says. It says in verse 4:14 in the book of Exodus, the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and so God said, what about your brother Aaron, the Levite? You see, what's going on here is, in this little exchange, God compromises with Moses and says, okay, you don't want to do this, Moses, I get it. What if we make a compromise and I call your brother as well so that both of you can work together to use your unique gifts and skills to let my people go? He gives Moses multiple opportunities, and even after he gives those multiple opportunities and Moses still is getting upset and afraid, God chooses to come alongside Moses and compromise with him so that they can work together to let his people go. Now, God is slow to anger. It takes him time before he's going to get upset with something. But that doesn't mean that God never gets angry. God does get angry. But here's the thing to know, and here's the thing to understand about God's anger. God gets angry for very specific reasons. It's not random. It's not unpredictable. To say that God is slow to anger also implies that his anger is aroused by very specific things. So what are those things? Well, I'm glad you asked. First, God gets angry when he witnesses acts of evil. If we see, hear, or learn of an evil act occurring, like a child being abused in some horrible situation, we should get angry about that. And guess what? God does get angry about that. God gets angry when he sees humans oppressing each other, when he sees human beings ruining this good world that he created. And as a result, God's anger is actually an expression of his justice and his love for the world. He wants his world to be a good world. And he gets angry when evil acts of evil are ruining that world of his. But again, as I said, his anger is not random. His anger is not unpredictable. As we saw with Moses, God's anger is slow. God patiently gives people opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to repent and obey him. You know, after God sends Moses to Pharaoh, we see God's anger, God's slow anger, if you will, unfold in the rest of the story of Exodus. You see, the other character in that story is Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, the one who has enslaved the Israelites and whom God wants Moses to go and say, let my people go. Guess how many chances God gives Pharaoh to let his people go? 10. We call them the 10 plagues of Egypt, if you've ever heard that phrase before. God gives Pharaoh 10 chances to let Israel go free. 10 chances. When you stop and think about it, did Pharaoh deserve 10 chances to change? Did he deserve 10 opportunities to repent and turn to God? Of course not. Any of us, if we know of somebody who's committing these terrible acts of evil, would we even stop to think and give them 10 chances to repent? Of course we wouldn't. But after the 10th refusal, Pharaoh and his army, they chase after the Israelites after they're going into the wilderness, and they enter into the Red Sea, and the Pharaoh and his army are drowned in the Red Sea while trying to pursue the Israelites. The Bible says that this is actually an act of God's hot anger. God has directed his slow anger, 10 opportunities, he's directed his slow anger towards these acts of evil and cruelty being committed by the Egyptians. And as crazy as this all sounds, this is actually good news, because it means that God wants to rid the world of evil. He wants to rid the world of injustice. And so the first thing that God's anger is specifically directed at are acts of evil. But another thing that we see God's anger directed at throughout the scriptures is betrayal. Specifically, when people intentionally betray God. You see, throughout the scriptures, what we see is the Israelites, God's people, day after day, constantly betraying God by actually wanting to abandon him and go worship the gods of other nations. There, in fact, in some of the more adult passages in the Bible, God compares the Israelites to a prostitute who just sleeps around with whoever she wants and expects her husband to just be okay with it. And time again, we see God giving the Israelites and their kings and their leaders chances to repent, another opportunity to come back, renew their vows, recommit themselves to obeying God, recommit themselves to obeying him and honoring him over and over again, to begin the relationship over and over again. But again, they continue to deny him and betray him and refuse him and run away. And each time we read that the hot anger of God burns against the Israelites. But when God finally when his slow anger has finally reached its peak, the Bible uses a very specific phrase about what God does with this anger. A very specific phrase, the Bible says, that God, and here it is, God gave Israel over into the hands of their enemies. That phrase is very important. God gave Israel over. You see, it wasn't that Israel was trying to be so super faithful to God and God just got upset with them because they made some mistake. Sometimes that's the image we have, isn't it? No, instead, Israel was deliberately and repeatedly disobeying and betraying God and then throwing it back in God's face, telling him that he should be okay with it. They wanted to go serve other gods. God pleads with them, no, please don't do this. God sends them prophets telling them, please don't do this. God warns them over the consequences time and time again, please don't do this. But they refuse, and so God's slow anger reaches his peak, and it says that he gives them over to their wishes. In other words, it's saying that if you want to go and obey these other gods, God finally reaches a point where he says, fine, go. Okay, time for a quick review. To say that God is slow to anger first means that God is patient and forgiving, giving us so many opportunities to change. And it also means that God does get angry, but his anger is specifically focused on specific things, primarily evil and the betrayal of his people. And that anger that God has is not this unpredictable explosion of violence. Instead, it's a the consistent response of God's anger is to give people over to what they have chosen, even if it means it will lead to their own self-destruction. Now, sometimes when we have this image of God, of God's slow anger, we think that God only gets angry in the Old Testament. But that's not the case. If we take a look at the New Testament, we also see that God has slow anger is revealed even in the New Testament. But it's revealed through the person of Jesus. You see, in the New Testament, we see God's anger, but it's redirected towards something that none of us would have ever expected. And in fact, ends up being good news for us all. We see this primarily unpacked in the letter of Romans. This is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to a church living in Rome, and it's perhaps arguably one of the greatest letters ever written in the history of humanity. It's this brilliant letter in which Paul is working out, trying to explain, trying to unpack how has God's anger actually turned into good news for us. In the very beginning of Romans, this is Romans 1, 18 to 32, Paul explains that God's anger is now being revealed against human evil. There it is again. God's anger is expressed against human evil and wickedness. And Paul starts off this passage in Romans that by saying this, the wrath of God or anger, the wrath or anger of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Okay, so as he continues through this letter, we're not going to take a look at every verse here in Romans chapter 1. Three times Paul explains that God's response to wickedness is that his wrath is expressed, his anger, and what God chooses to do to those people is, get ready, gives people over to their sins. Did you catch that? It's the same thing that God did for the people of Israel. And so when you and I are constantly living in sin, throwing it back in God's face, God's response is eventually to say, fine. And he gives you over to your sin, and so leading to the natural self-destruction and consequences of those decisions. But because God is slow to anger, he doesn't respond to those sins in this immediate furious rage. Instead, God pleads with us. He pleads with us time and time again, over and over again, begging us to repent until the only response God has left is to say, fine, if you want to go do this, so be it. Now, you might be thinking, well, that's depressing. That's discouraging. Is that really the only option left for us? Well, Paul knew you'd say that. And so he continues in his letter in the second chapter by saying that all of this is actually good news. And you might be thinking, what? How in the world can this possibly be good news? Because it means that the God we serve is a patient God. It means that the God we serve gives us time, more time than we deserve. It means that the God we love and we serve gives you more opportunities to repent than you deserve to have, gives you more time to repent than you deserve to have, gives you more chances to come back to him than you deserve to have, to come back to your senses and to finally change. Because not only is God slow to anger, remember, he's also compassionate. He's also gracious. He's also abounding in loyal love and faithfulness. This all fits with his character. God wants to rescue you. He doesn't want to destroy you. Paul explains that God wants to rescue you so desperately. He wants you to turn to him and experience the life that he has for you so desperately that he is even willing to put himself in the place of his righteous anger that you and I actually deserve to have. He is so desperately longing for you to turn to him that he is willing to allow himself to experience his own anger and wrath so that you can yet again have another chance to turn to him and repent. And so what we see in the story of Jesus is Jesus taking upon himself the wrath of God in order to give you and I another chance to repent. Paul explains this in Romans 5, 6 through 11. I'm going to read verses 8 and 9. Paul writes, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, in other words, while we were still far from God, still throwing our sins back in God's face, while we were still running literally the wrong direction, Christ died for us. And since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath, God's anger through Christ? So Jesus is God become man, and he died for you to give you yet again one more opportunity, another chance to repent and to turn from your sins towards God. Wow. Okay, what do we do with all this? First, realize that God is not a God who randomly seeks out ways to punish you. God is not an angry tyrant. He is not a ruthless dictator. He is not some irate bully looking for ways to cause you discomfort or pain or harm or fear. That is not what God is like. God is not quick to anger. He is slow to anger. Why? Because he loves you. He rejoices over you. God delights in you. He longs for you to put your trust in him. He's even willing to die for you. Would an angry, tyrannical, irate God be willing to die for his people? Of course not. People who are so consumed by their anger, they don't seek to sacrifice. They seek to blame and criticize, don't they? That's not what God is like. God chooses to cover you with his grace. He chooses to cover you with his love. He chooses to suffer for you, not to punish you. But that, of course, doesn't mean that God never gets angry. He does. And this is good news as well. Because a God who would never get angry would actually be a God who doesn't care. A God who doesn't care about the world that he made. It'd be a God who doesn't care about what happens in your life. A God who never gets angry would just be this apathetic, almost like an absentee landlord kind of God who doesn't really care about what's going on at their property. It'd be a God who is so completely out of touch with the real problems you're going through in your life. And he either doesn't care or just doesn't bother doing anything. But that's not God either. God is not an angry tyrant, and God is not an absentee landlord. God is slow to anger. And so I wonder, which one of those perceptions of God do you perhaps struggle with in your own life? Or are you someone who perhaps has really struggled, afraid of God? Afraid of God's anger, that you perhaps even avoid him, or you avoid his presence. You hold back from going deeper into a relationship with him because you're convinced that you've made so many mistakes in your life that they're too great. God's not going to forgive you. God's going to punish me beyond anything that I can bear. Well, if that's what you're struggling with, I want you to hear this. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God is slow to anger. God loves you. His anger is slow and it is patient. God forgives you. God delights in you more than you could possibly know or imagine. Or are you perhaps someone who has struggled with the fact that God gets angry in the first place? Perhaps it seems unfair. Perhaps it seems unjust to you. Why would God be a God who gets angry? And if that's you, I want you to hear this. God's anger, it means that God does in fact actually care about the world that we live in. And he cares about your life. He cares about what you're going through. He longs for the world that we live in to be a world that's marked by peace and justice and love. And so God's anger is not a random, unpredictable anger that explodes in fits. It is a specific anger directed towards those things which seek to rip apart his good kingdom. God's anger is directed towards those things that have no place in the kingdom of heaven. God gets angry at injustice and at evil and intentional betrayal. And yes, he is slow to anger, but his anger does in fact mean that he cares about you and your life. And one day, God's anger will in fact eliminate all that is evil in this world, wiping every tear from our eyes. And in fact, that's one of the messages that we learn and we are reminded of every time we gaze at the cross. When we stare at the cross of Christ, we're reminded that the wrath of God was not meant for you, even though we deserve it. But the anger of God was meant to conquer the evil powers and principalities that entrap this world. And so this week, I actually challenge you to tell God thank you for being a God who is slow to anger. Tell God thank you for choosing to be patient with you, because we all know how much we need a God who's willing to wait for us, don't we? To forgive us and to help us come to accept him. But I challenge you to not just say thank you, God, for being a God who is slow to anger. I also challenge you to say, God, thank you for your anger. Because as strange as it might seem, the fact that God has anger means that he is willing to eradicate the evils of this world and the evils in your life. Maybe even ask God to help you fight those evils alongside him, to work towards his kingdom with him. Because God's anger, it means that one day his justice will be done. It means that one day thy kingdom will come. The kingdom of God will not fail, because our God is the God who is compassionate, gracious, and slow to anger. And for that, we can be thankful. Will you pray with me? Lord God, Lord, sometimes we find ourselves afraid of you, afraid of your anger, afraid of why you are a God who gets angry in the first place. And I pray that you would help us come to see that your anger is in fact an outflowing expression of just how much you love us and love this world. And that you are not a God who is unpredictably exploding in fits of rage, but you are a God whose anger is specifically directed against the evils of this world that seek to rip this good world apart. And I pray that you would help every single one of us in this room and in our congregation join you in helping bring your kingdom come. In Jesus' name.